Did you ever wonder what light beings from the other side think of astrology? We're about to find out. We have a great interview lined up today with Dan Gershovich. So sit down. We're going to have a literally out of this world conversation. Welcome to Star Sound Speaks. Welcome, Dan. This is episode 296. Dan, I have 101 questions for you. Dan has written this book, 9 years in the making. Stephen Forrest, Nadia Shah, glowing reviews. He wrote to me, and I'm like, this is outrageous. I have to interview him. And this book is about interviews with the other side regarding astrology. So put this one in your toolkit, right? It's called
Old stars and new light.
Old Stars
There
and
it
Light.
is.
Awesome. All right. So before we get into that, you're from Lithuania. How did you find astrology, Dan?
I am from Vilnius, Lithuania. That was part of USSR. I was born in 1969. So astrology was borderline illegal. Xeroxes were illegal. Religion was borderline illegal. And it was 80s society, as you know. In school, we were taught that alchemy is a mother of chemistry, and chemistry is ashamed of alchemy, and astrology is the mother of astronomy, and astronomy is ashamed of astrology of the mother, and so on and so forth. But the curiosity was there, and some people were teaching astrology in some closed circuits, and some were curious enough and passionate enough to type it over, and it was typed something, transcribed a lecture, it was copied over and over, and one of those copies made it to me.
Guys, you got to remember this is way before the internet. And so
Yes,
you had this underground sharing of astrology with notes that you passed amongst each other.
basically, yeah, were people who kind of knew each other and were not afraid to take a little risk and yeah, either type it up or share it with someone. I was still in school. A friend of mine, without telling his mom, got that pack of pages
How
typed.
old were you at the time?
I was probably 15 or so, and I started reading that. I was already interested in things like Myers-Briggs. I was having a field day with that because I was such an introvert. I was stuttering. I had all those some deformities I was born with, so not everyone could understand me even. And this gave me something to talk to people. Oh, I'm this type, you are this type. And then astrology opened up a new horizon where everyone is unique and yet somehow made out of the same elements. So you
Right.
know, I may be Libra, you may be Leo. I'm not a Leo, but there is Leo somewhere in my chart, so I can look at it, I can see which house it is in, and it was a connection.
Yes, yes.
And doing charts for friends was more connection. And so I was studying applied mathematics. I went to Georgia to study the country of Georgia, not the state
Soviet
of Georgia,
Georgia,
yeah,
right.
study film. And there I started doing charts for even more people.
It just kept growing from
It
there.
kept growing. We did
Wow.
charts by hand, as you
Right,
would
right.
see, using
No,
a pen.
computer software, everything drawn by hand. Yeah, this is
And then,
a labor of love.
exactly, and you get something from it, right? You get it gets internalized as you're drawing those things by hand. It goes to your heart, right? It goes to your soul. So anyway, yeah, and then I came to the United States in 1990 because I was studying film already. Soviet Union was falling apart, so I knew there is may not be a great future for me there. So I applied for political asylum, and for many, many years I didn't get it. So I was like borderline homeless for some time. I was doing charts for people to get some something to eat.
Wow.
But at some point I met Anthony Pico, who actually I met my wife first. And we started comparing notes, and I was talking about Osho and Gurdjieff and this and that. And my wife said, I know this, you know. And I said, okay, well, tell me, what do you know? And she said, I know this wonderful teaching by Sess, Jane Roberts, who
Right,
channeled
Jane Roberts,
Sess.
right.
And I said, oh, okay, I should study that because there is no point, you know, arguing why it's another view of the world. I will happily study that. And I went to read, and it was good. It was inspiring. And then someone came and said, oh, I have this other channeler friend who channels Elias. And that brought me into this channeling thing. And somewhere in between those I was meeting people interested in Sirius Elias, and I met Anthony Pico, who is a New York-based astrologer, one of the founders of Astrological Meetup in Manhattan, in New York. And I took some lessons from him. I was fascinated how fluid he was and so on. And then he listened to me interpret charts, and he said, you know what? There is one astrologer you would probably like, and that's Stephen Forrest, and I can give you a book. And I said, okay, yeah, absolutely. And so the rest is history, because I love Stephen Forrest's teachings. And even though I never formally studied with him, but huge, huge impact of him.
Me too. His books were earlier, my earlier journey with astrology was, it went into evolutionary astrology before I ended up in the Hellenistic world. Yeah, so I know. And he's so compassionate. And he gave you a glowing review. He's very...
Yes. Which is amazing, which is amazing. But yeah, and I built that confidence a little bit over the years, because like 10 years ago, I wouldn't even reach out to Stephen Forrest for anything. But
well, it was meant to be, Dan. Yeah,
little by little, yeah. And I said, you know, can I send you a chapter? Okay. And then I said, remember I sent you a chapter 10 years ago? Well,
I finally finished the book, right? It took you 9 years.
The book, and you know, would you be so kind to? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And he was genuine. At some point, he posted in Facebook, and he told someone, you know, it's a different book. It's real. You know, I recommend.
Yeah. This is not your average astrology book. So you went to the Seth. You learned about Seth from your wife, Jane Roberts Seth, and then you found this other channeler named Mary Ennis, and she was channeling similar to Seth, Elias. Yes. And then you went to these teachings and such. I guess you sat there in an audience with other people and you heard him talk about things. And then did you ask him about astrology, and or how did that work?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I remember our first meeting, like public session. It was in some kind of apartment in Manhattan. And I came in, and people were talking all kinds of interesting stuff before the session. And there was that one lady that was very busy hooking up wires and setting the camera. I thought of her as a photographer or cinematographer. And she was so humble, she did not participate in those things. And there was this huge chair, and I was wondering, well, who is going to sit on that chair? And what do you know, like 10 minutes later, you know, she sat on that chair and said,
it's
you know,
her.
Yeah. And that was Mary Ennis, you know, humble as ever. And she
humble soul.
and
Wow.
And she started answering questions, and then she got into the trance, and there was that lecture and exchange. And I found out that I can have private sessions, and I said, I must do that, because I, you know, I loved Osho, but he died, and I loved Castaneda, but who knows how to meet him, and then he died. And then I said,
yeah.
Okay, I'm not missing my opportunity this time around.
Right.
And we started having, me and my wife, we always took it together. And at some point, when I think Uranus was like half return, and I was taking those lessons with Anthony that I mentioned, and then reading Stephen Forrest, and I got more and more into astrology. So I thought, well, that I will be discussing that with Elias, and I started discussing with him.
So these are years of
yeah
conversations you had with this
yes.
dimensional light being, this entity. And
yeah.
What I want to know is, you know, what are the, let's just talk about what's in the book, and you know, what does he have to say about it? It's not amazing, because we were just from here, we are on Earth, and we're reading the stars from a position geocentric, you know, from position of Earth, and then what do they have to say about it?
Yes, yeah, it's another perspective, and I always gauging like who I'm talking to, right? Because if I'm talking to a person such as yourself, that allows that possibility that some soul or essence comes from another side, then we can both celebrate it and discuss it as such. But if I'm talking to someone who I'm not sure of, they are clearly not into this kind of stuff, then I just say, you know, information speaks for itself, other side or not. You read our dialogue, then you may not like Eliza's answer. Whereas one astrologer that said, "You know what? I like your questions in your version better than Eliza." And I said, "You know what? I well, first of all, thank you, and secondly, if it wasn't for 10 years or more with Eliza, I wouldn't be able to do that, one. And two, when the book was in the editing phase, I didn't want to edit Elias at all, but I highly edited my part without changing the question or without changing the meaning of my assignment, but making it so much more as concise as I could. And with his wisdom already incorporated in my own experiences. So I could talk for 5 minutes, Elias would answer for 20 seconds, and maybe I edited the 5 minutes into like 1 minute, and someone said, "You know what? Your original version was not so bad either." And I went, "Okay, thank you, but you know, I had to really edit that because I didn't want to look
Sure.
completely out of it and you know go around and around and complain about my confusion and all that." But
So,
they,
yeah,
yeah,
I'm
but
just,
we can please go ahead.
you know, I was going to say, I would like to talk about like actual, maybe you can read us an excerpt from the book, a little paragraph or something, and you know what, really just anything that strikes your fancy. I was fascinated reading a different planets. This is very really well organized. It's really like a little, it's like to me, it was like an astrological education from the other side. So he talks about planets and signs, but from that perspective, how do you find what's the difference that you found between the way us people on Earth have through the centuries, all the thousands of years that astrology has been here? What's the difference? Is there a difference? And how did you find that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So, let's talk about signs. So, zodiac signs. I was initially, my intent was to write a fantasy based on astrology, and I started writing, and I realized that, you know what, I don't quite feel the or understand the zodiac signs as I probably as I want to, let's say. And it sounds strange because, you know, dude, you are doing astrology, how come you don't understand the signs? But when you read over and over that, you know, Aries is a cardinal fire sign, think of it as spring, flowers are coming through snow. Okay, all of that is great, but what about the feeling, right? And so I went to Elias and I said, "I don't quite understand the sign." So he said, "Go to the symbol." And that resulted in a very interesting session or two where we went over quite a few signs. And it was like National Geographic because he started talking about those animals or those composite signs. So I, rather than reading, let's go around real quick and I will try to just pinpoint what I found exciting. So Aries, the ram, right? He was talking about, I mean, I don't know biology that well, but he was talking about the ram or the goat. And to me, those are goats that climb all those vertical terrains and so on and so forth. And I know that some people consider Capricorn a goat, which we will talk about later, but the Aries, the goat. And he was talking about how agile they are, how they climb impossible terrains, how they can survive in extreme cold and extreme heat, how we can make friends, quote unquote friends, among other species. They are okay, they are adaptable, right? There are other animals that are not interested in other species at all, right? But goats are out there in the mountains. They are not really that much family oriented. They are not really in the herd, unlike, let us say, bulls, right, or cows. They can turn on a dime, they can jump over abysses where skull is very tight with their brain as to not sustain a concussion when we do their ramming thing. There was so much where hooves are built like in trees, right, to grasp to that almost impossible terrain. And so that adaptability and that being stealth and being streamlined and being agile, all that translated into psychological archetype, which was much better than just saying, oh, Aries likes to be first and compete. Yeah, they
Yeah.
like to compete, of course, they like to be first, they are fire sign. I get it, I appreciate it, but you know, studying the goat gave me much
Yeah.
more to think about and feel about, right? Bulls, moving on, so Taurus,
Yeah, we can do a little snippet
yeah,
for each. But you're
right.
right. I like that what you're saying. This is about connecting with, it's a deeper nuance to go really deeply into that animal and how they behave and how they don't behave. Yeah.
So
So,
yeah,
all
so
right, let's do Taurus while we're at it.
let's do Taurus. So
On a roll here.
Taurus, they are, and one of the words he uses is awkward. And I later on I challenged him about awkward, and he said, you think of those keywords as positive or negative, they are neither. Awkward means you are bigger than the room you are in, you are bigger than the situation you are in. And he said, look at the bull, the huge head, and in relation to the body, right? It's a little awkward, they are bigger, and they are hugely powerful, extremely powerful animals, but they sometimes don't know their power. They can be scared of things that they are much more powerful than the things we're scared about. He talked about family. Family is super important to bulls and therefore to Taurus. He said, in order to introduce a calf to another mother, a farmer has to use the milk of the future mom, let us say, and put it on top of the calf so when she smells, she thinks it's hers. So in nature, I mean, it sounds cruel, but it is what it is for that species in nature. They are so tightly knit family. And then you think of Taurus, and Taurus, if we think Italy, for example, right? Familia, you know, family oriented, and all that taste for life. Taurus gets into everything, like Italians, they hug, they whistle, they laugh, they eat, they enjoy life, the physical
Right,
aspect of life,
senses, right.
emotional, with the thing. Sometimes you go to the forums and you will see, oh, Taurus is lazy. You know, like I said, it's nothing, not at all, and not even close. It's a beast of burden, right? The bull can work from morning to evening. Now, the comfort part, when we work all day, when we build to that point where we sit down on the couch and watch TV in comfort, which is there, we love comfort. Now I'm talking about Taurus, right? In the human flesh. Even when we watch TV, we get into the show. We can throw something at TV. We can talk to the characters. We can scream. Like, and you know, let's say Italian family watching a football match, the World Cup, something like that. So it was very interesting to hear those things. For example, I didn't know how important the family is. Now, in human version, it also includes partner. But really, the family, and I can see it now. I can see it where sometimes it is super exhausting, even. But the family is very, very important. Let's go to, let's say, Gemini.
Gemini,
Gemini.
yeah. Let's do Gemini. Zip
I
through
asked
zodiac.
about why is it first of all Gemini meaning twins? Why is it twins? And he said, well, twins look very similar on the out, may look very similar on the outside, but twins they will be very different inside, right? It's almost like Anthony used to tell me that twins push against each other, they try to be different. Elias said, when we were talking about house systems, he said, well, if you have, like, let's say identical twins, you are guaranteed that if you're looking at two versions of the chart, let's say in your mind, trying to figure out which one to use, one twin may use one and the other one may use another, it may really will try to be different. So he said, in terms of one person that is twins, if you see, for example, someone very calm and assertive and confident on the outside, inside, likely, they are just grasping for air, they may be very anxious, they may be very unsettled and so on. But when you, or conversely, if you see someone that appears lost and so, scattered or anxious or whatever outside, it may be that inside they are firm as a rock. So I never knew that, but I went.
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that either.
I went to talk to my Gemini friends and so on, and they all confirmed that.
They all
and I
agreed.
posted it on Facebook, and I got those responses where I said, hey, finally someone understands.
At least someone understands us. It took somebody from another dimension to explain it.
Right. So Cancer, I read so much about Cancer being water sign, being super emotional, ruled by moon, all of that is there. Well, maybe good listeners and so on, but Elias said, we are very good listeners, but then we will listen to your story and then we will tell you their story, which will be much more
I confirm that.
Much more
I know
dramatic,
Jesus.
right? And so it's not only, let us say, it's not only about being this great mother and all that. Cancer, I found them to be very adventurous. They are very, it's a cardinal sign, right? And when you observe the crab on the beach, right, they are exploring and they are moving left and right, left and right. And they used to complain because I work with several
Cancers.
friends and colleagues who are of that sign, and I never understood why is it with my Capricorn ascendant, my strong Virgo, I'm trying to go from A to Z, and here we are left and right, left and right. And my wife was there, and she does kiteboarding, and she said, yeah, that's how we do. When the wind takes you this way, you don't go this way, you go left and right, left and right. And when you look at the crab, they go left and right. So he was talking about how they literally, now speaking about crabs, they carry their house on top of them.
Right.
For better or for worse, right? Because they are super independent, but then sometimes they flip over, they need help. Sometimes they cannot see it themselves from the side because that house is on top. So he said the keyword self-absorbed. And again, it's not a judgment, it's not a negative word.
Right.
Because
Just
we are alive. Why not take it, right? We and I know Cancer people that are fantastic fathers, that are fantastic mothers, but it's not automatic. It's not like, oh, Cancer is that mother, because Cancer can be, they remember everything, and they can give you such a hard time until they evolve into an observing, a loving. And even then, they don't necessarily smother you, right? I know I have friends who are absolutely great in letting their children be who they want to be without that smothering that you would expect as a from Cancer.
Okay, that's Cancer. What about Leo?
Leo, he said, think of a Leo, imagine Leo in the savannah or somewhere. There is no other predator that is more powerful, right? It's an apex predator.
Right. King of the jungle.
So everyone pays respect to him. Everyone. They got nothing to be afraid of. They can go wherever we want to go. So that natural curiosity, that courage, is not only a courage of someone that cannot be challenged, but it's a courage of someone who wants to go and explore. And they do as they please, right? Another thing he said, family. Lions are very much into family, very much into rearing, very young. They never kick out the young from the family. Youngsters leave because we want to explore, but we are not like kicked out or anything like that. And he gave a word, consumers or consuming. And again, I went for a spin and I said, Elias, you're giving those negative words. He said, no, it's not negative. The consumption, the apex predators are essential for the whole infrastructure to be you. I said, how about the generosity and the nurturing? He said, precisely, because that nurturing, you need to nurture in order to consume. Consume doesn't mean you destroy. Consume means you value everything around you so much that you want everything to grow. You want your children to grow. You want your partner to shine. You want your friends to shine. You want everybody to grow and shine and tell you stories and go places and go with you and be with you. You want information. You want food. You want all of that because you are a connoisseur. You are the lion that wants to be. And yes, you shine. And lions do not necessarily seek attention. They just get attention, which is different, right? And we spoke briefly about career or something, and he said, yes, sometimes there is a challenge where lions, they do not like to be told what to do. But once we get through that, we can be fantastic leaders and teachers and all that.
Cool.
So,
all that right. That's Leo. How about Virgo?
Virgo was that detail orientation is usually presented as you can sometimes see it even in traditional astrology. You can see, oh, Virgo is devoid of, right? It's pure. Therefore, it's devoid of, like, it doesn't have children. It's bare. It doesn't. And he said, absolutely not. Virgo are very into helping, into families. They want to, especially into offspring, they want to teach the children, they want to share the knowledge, they want that precision that is at the heart of Virgo, that precision and thirst for knowledge and scientific approach and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the part of it is sharing that and growing together and achieving that precision with others and so on. And we looked at, by the way, speaking of countries, right, the Leo was, the country he has given was United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was initially shutting because everybody talks about 4th of July, which is why,
right.
Which
Cancer
made
country.
cancer. But if you open your mind to that, I think it's fantastic archetype for United States because of all the Hollywood and celebrities and being either loved or hated around the world and breaking those barriers.
The North Node is in Leo of the USA chart, 6 degrees Leo.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and Virgo is like Germany or Japan, let us say, right? Those cultures that are much more associated with
efficiency, work.
Efficiency, learning, teaching, studying, like German nannies were hired for elite families in Europe for hundreds of years to rear children because they knew what we were talking about.
Right.
And there was that exclusivity about Germans, about the Huns, even where he said, when everyone considers tribes, you know, Huns and others, to be barbarians, they considered the rest of the Europe to be barbarians. And they had their level of education and level of precision and level of craftsmanship and all those things associated. Libra, my sign. Libra, you usually hear about balance or striving for balance. It's not balance for sure, right? Because Libras wouldn't be constantly confused and lost if we were constantly in balance, but striving for balance. But another attribute of scales is evaluating, right? Measurement. One thing Libras do, they evaluate constantly. And this idea of coupling, that's the word he gave, coupling. And this idea of being with the partner and adjusting to the partner and so on and so forth, or being an artist, right? Stephen Forrest says the artist, I'm the diplomat, is again the evaluation, right? And that scales given very, very nicely. I asked Elias, why not give another animal? He said, there is no animal in nature that does the measurement.
Right.
No animal is interested in measuring. It's a human characteristic, and therefore the scales were chosen.
Right.
Yeah, we discussed a lot about the confusion, and because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get it. And he said, that's exactly what all of those things you are saying, that's Libra, because they know about everybody else, they can measure them and see, but themselves, they kind of confused, always confused about the choices and so on, like that donkey that was trying to choose between two piles of hay and died from starvation, right? Scorpio, that little scorpion, where first of all, everyone is afraid of them. But if you look at the 100-something subspecies of scorpion, most of them, I think, like, out of about 100, only 3 of them are deadly. The most of them are not.
Didn't know that.
All they can do is to pinch you, or, you know, whoever tries to attack them, they can paralyze them momentarily for a few seconds, just so they can run away. But that's not what we think of them. They are not there to kill, but they make that impression, and this idea of being small but scary, small but being able, so powerful, right? Scorpio and bull was very powerful, but Scorpio is so much smaller, still hugely powerful, able to take on prey much bigger in size. Scorpion is another sign that can live in huge range of temperatures, in desert, I guess, they, you know, very hot during the day, very cold during the night, and they always disengage. They almost die. They fall asleep, if you will, right, during the night, and then they wake up and they warm up. Many interesting things there about the Scorpio, how it maps to this idea. So power and sexuality, how they have, I asked him about why is it associated with sexuality and stuff. He said some species have elaborate courtship. Some species have elaborate mating rituals, but it's difficult to find one that has both elaborate courtship and elaborate mating ritual, I think. And another thing was the symmetry, where it's a very symmetrical creature, if you look. And I never did the research, but I think probably if you line up Scorpios, they may be a little bit more symmetrical in face and all that. But yeah, but then it was very interesting to know, because all that drama.
Oh,
and
right.
I even had an astrologer friend that I will not name, and she was pretty famous in her time, published several books, who was talking about, oh my God, I don't want, you know, Scorpio to be president, Scorpio should not be president. And I went to the statistics and I said, guess what? The most popular sign for US presidents is Scorpio. I think
really?
Anyone, yeah. But anyway, so all that drama and all that thing that scorpions do, if you get past that, if you know that this is how they express themselves, then you know the loving side, the soft underbelly. And ants can easily, in troops, can easily overcome the Scorpio.
Ants can, really?
From below, the small little ants, because A, they have soft underbelly. They look so scary outside, but soft, gentle,
vulnerability
powerful,
is hidden.
vulnerability.
Yeah.
And that's why, and that's how we stick with a partner, even when the partner is abusive, sometimes for the longest time and so on, very loyal. But they see far away, but they don't see something in front of their nose, right? And that's a characteristic that you get from studying scorpion. Okay,
let's move on to Sagittarius.
The archer, the Sagittarius, yeah. Let's see what was different from what
boundless enthusiasm. Let's
boundless
go 100
enthusiasm.
different runways. Let's do all of them at the same time.
He gave England, which was you know, a small dot on the map that colonized, like, let's say, half of the world.
Sure.
But not for them, not for the sake of being brutal, although they were, and not oftentimes they were brutal, but not for the sake of being murderous, but for the sake of expansion and curiosity and establishing. We always establish something, right, where we come. We establish, like, I spoke to folks from India who think that we destroyed so much of the such an advanced culture which we did, and others who think that we brought this magnificent order to the country and unified, which we also did. But whether you like them or hate them, but we build those, we put in place those systems, those, you know, universities and governments and this and that. But one surprising part was emotions. that some of the biggest destruction for Sagittarius may be where emotion that gets the best of them and makes them go out of the otherwise straight line of achieving something. There were a few more things that I don't recall now that were surprising. But let's move to Capricorn. Capricorn is one of my favorite. It's, you know, my dad is Capricorn, my rising sign is Capricorn. And in the pop astrology, you read the, yeah, it's good, it's ambitious, but
it's oriented, the big
it's kind of dry, yeah, and it will throw you under the bus and this and that.
Can be ruthless.
Yeah, ruthless, yeah. But again, that's another one. It's very family oriented, very, and that's what I felt, you know, from my dad, my uncle, my very caring, very family oriented. It's a combination sign, and usually thought of as sea goat, and this goat climbing the mountains and so on. But Elias offered another school of thought, which makes it sea sheep, right? So he spoke about sheep, which is very different from cows and bulls. Sheep will take care of their own. Sheep, you don't have to fool them. They will, the mothers will watch out for others, for other little sheep, for lambs and so on. They stick together. They don't care much about other species at all. They stick together and they always moving. They always productive. And he gave self-perpetuation for Capricorn. The sheep, even the what's growing around them, right? And you cut it and you make clothes out of it and so on. Everything is moving, everything is growing, this constant movement. And that movement is that tail, you know, that tail that keeps them propelled. And he said, yeah, imagine like a mermaid or mer creature that is constantly moving, non-agitating, under the water, right? Non-agitating, doing their own thing, and with the sheep head, with the sheep so curious and so collaborative and so on. And we talked about ambition, and he said, yeah, they are very democratic. May not lead the movement for liberation, let us say, for equal rights, but they will be in that movement, and they will think that way. And the only reason they will well, not the only reason, because there is always a range in the shadow side and this and that, but many Capricorns will be successful climbing the ladder, not because they want to be above everybody else, but because they know how, because they know how to organize the labor, they know how the system works, they know how to be efficient,
how to get it done.
Right? Yeah, and that was very nice to hear, because I got tired of this Grinch that stole Christmas. And Elias said, they can be.
The Grinch that stole Christmas.
Yeah, the shadows.
Shadow Capricorn.
But they are, but properly harmonious Capricorn is anything but dry. We are not dry. We are caring. And we will help you out. And we will collaborate with you. And we know how to work and make things done, which is very different from that cold ambition that is usually projected.
Yeah, it's interesting, these new dimensions that add more nuance to these.
Yes, yes. And then
Capricorn.
Now we go to Aquarius.
Aquarius,
he said it's about the flow. It's about the... and I said, why isn't the human, like human pouring water? And he said, all other archetypes were highlighting or emphasizing something in humans, right? The adaptability and agility of Aries, or power and steadiness of Bull and so on, Taurus. But Aquarius is a human in that it is human flow. And I said, oh, flow. But you mentioned flow for Capricorn. He said, well, yeah, we use the same language, but it means very different things. The Capricorn is concerned with everything flowing. Aquarius couldn't care less is if anything or everything is flowing. They need that. They care that they are flowing. But it's a big difference, right? The individual flow, that you follow your flow, and I respect that and that freedom, and I follow my flow, and you respect that and my freedom. And if we are both Capri, if we are both Aquarius, let's say, we care about that community, right? We are not some kind of egotistical maniacs that flow and don't want anything else, but we flow and we find those new things, we share it with the community, we discuss it, and then we keep on flowing. And this is traditionally, Russia is one of the countries that consider closely related to Aquarius archetype. And this is where you reminded of shadow, right? The Russia today under Putin is not the wonderful Russia you imagined in the fairy tales, but it's both. It's both. It has many of those, you know, the eccentricity, the artfulness, the magical qualities, fascination with some higher purpose and this and that, as well as the whole range of freedom includes the lack of freedom. And if you have a country of everybody flowing their own way, then you come in and you close that,
right.
And you take
conformity
advantage
comes
of it, and you put them all under some kind of pressure until they say, okay, well. So, and finally, Pisces. The thing with boundaries we discussed, which is known about Pisces, and how this is another sign that may stay in the relationship longer than we should because of this. If there is a trauma situation, if there is a victim and perpetrator does have boundaries. They know the boundaries. The victim is the one that doesn't. And it's not about blaming the victim, but it's the thing where Pisces is a little bit more likely to find themselves in that situation, in part because of that. And he used the analogy. He said that he gave the word family, and family as human family. And he said they are born without that separation or fear or whatever. And that fish is swimming towards the big fish, and it doesn't know that shark will swallow them and swordfish will skewer them. We don't know that. We learn it with age. And
there's
we
that
said,
innocence.
yeah, I want some boundaries, whatever that means. It sucks, but I will put something up. But naturally, everyone is a friend, right? And everyone is family. Not in an Aquarius sense of a friend, where everyone is friend because everyone is human and everyone is exploring, and this is just a wonderful life. But everyone is family. Like, you and me are basically the same. We are, you know, I come to you, I shouldn't even knock, there shouldn't even be a door, there shouldn't even be a wall in your house, right? But with age, they learn to separate themselves, and they hang around a little bit to the side. So it was fascinating, even that. But then the same can be said about how, about the houses and the planets and all that. So it was very refreshing for me.
Yeah, I love it. It just gives a whole, and if we are struggling or we've had certain, you know, there's always a certain sign or archetype or house that we kind of struggle with to understand. And I love the fact that these open doors, new doors of perception, really fascinating. DanGershovich.com, right? I'll put the link below. And you are also available for readings. I'm so grateful that you took time to be here and share with us, because I'm always interested in fresh new perspectives on this 5,000-year-old tradition. To come from a whole nother dimension is quite intriguing, and to keep our minds open to these things. I mean, gosh, we still got Pluto at zero Aquarius. So we're about bringing in intelligence from other places. So this is a perfect Pluto and Aquarius conversation, right?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, everyone. So glad you joined us. Please do like, share, subscribe if you found this information useful. And we will see you the next time. This is Irliana Samsara and Dan Gershovitz from Old Stars New Light. And we'll see you soon. Take care, everyone.